Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
The Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your co-host, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, the president of the Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health and Mental and Behavior Health Services there in Jacksonville and throughout Northeast Florida. Welcome, team, and wow, it's been a really weird type of week again. This year is beginning as bizarre as the last 2020 ended. But today we're going to talk about the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration, the weekend that we pay tribute to Dr. King and all that he did for America, trying to instill peace and love, you know, amongst all Americans. And as Dr. King was so eloquently quoted, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And I think that's where we are in this country right now, as we think about the past events and, you know, the president inciting a riot, the pandemic, the things that are going on now and that we've been silent about. We've been talking about that all year long in 2020, being complicit with our silence. So, Dr. Danforth, what's your thoughts on Dr. King and his relevance today? As Americans come together to celebrate his birthday.
Well, good morning, team. First of all, I want to thank the good Lord for allowing us to be here again this Saturday morning. I tell you, thinking this weekend and activities that are occurring and may have already occurred, you know, I can... And thinking about Dr. Martin Luther King, I can only think back, Larry, to 1968, April 4th, when I was out playing around in the mud in Vietnam. And, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King was killed on that particular day. And, you know, teaching brotherly love and people coming together and sitting down at the table together and our young black girls and black boys being able to play together, to learn together, and having as a professional here at the Urban League for all of these years in the city of Jacksonville and Ebel Waters College. And I tell you, I wanted to cry really when I think back to here in 2021 in Jacksonville, Florida, all that we fought for, all that Martin Luther King gave his life for us to come together. And we sit here in Jacksonville, Florida, and we have two Martin Luther King breakfasts at the same time because of a split between our major civil rights organizations and the city of Jacksonville, specifically the mayor. I think it's a sad day for Jacksonville. I'm calling upon all citizens to step up and let us make some sense of what is going on. We cannot continue down the same road that we're, the lies, the lack of transparency, the lack of community engagement. We will continue, and I don't care who we get as a new coach, as a new general manager of the Jaguars. We've got to realize that you need community involvement if we're going to get anything done. All the backroom deals and paying off city council people, and I don't know that for a fact, but everything seems to be going and on the table here. But I would, I'm offering up an opportunity for us to come together and do something different, do something about race relations, about human relations, about sanity, and let's do something about this COVID, this virus that's choking us, and let's get the knee off our necks. So that's my comment.
Okay, Dr. Danforth, and that just leads to another one of Dr. King's comments, is that we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Jamie Lightman.
Yes. I just think that, you know, Dr. King and his legacy for being the leader in the civil rights movement, and activist through the methods of nonviolence and civil disobedience, and the response just from the history that I've seen and read coming up, the response to that and the reaction to that, what's totally aggressive in comparison to what we just saw in the recent events with the riot with the White House, which was predominantly whites. And I think that there's still a lot of work to be done in this country when it comes to the perception of people of color. Again, Dr. Danforth, you mentioned human rights, you know, equity still needs to happen for a lot of different ethnicities. So I just appreciate who Dr. King was and what he stood for and his leadership in that movement, because it was monumental. And again, we still have some work to do.
Yes, and we have a lot of work to do, not only, you know, in trying to instill peace and love, which is, it seems sort of, you know, an oxymoron these days, you know. But we got morons in the White House, so, you know, it's kind of appropriate that we use that definition. But moving on to the vaccine, yeah, you know, we're in dangerous territory with this vaccine. There are a lot of variants of the vaccine now, and I shouldn't say a lot. There's several variants in the United States of COVID-19, and you know, trying to keep up with the scientific names that are being applied as we move forward into this you know, unheard of type of developments with the vaccines. Doc and Jarman, let me tell you guys a little something that you might not have read and it's dealing with the headline today in the Washington Post reads, the vaccine reserve was already exhausted when Trump administration vowed to release it, dashing hopes of expanded access. That guys, this is saying that the Trump administration has been lying to us about the amount of vaccines available. They had not purchased the vaccines and not fulfilled the implementation of the orders and getting them into the supply chain to the states. The states have administered some of the vaccines that they were allocated, but you know, where are the rest of the vaccines that we were promised on the warp speed? You know, it was a warp speed to get the first one out and try to get it done before November 30th. But there were no plans for the public to really have access to this vaccine. What's going on?
You can't plan that and also plan an insurrection.
They chose to plan insurrection versus the getting the vaccine out. Again, we have almost 400,000 people dead in America because of this Trump administration's lack of due diligence to the public in producing this vaccine. They've invested billions and billions of taxpayer dollars for what? or what? Right. Not a doggone thing that we can see right now. And not the new incoming president next week has to prepare to secure more vaccines. And he's coming in saying that he's going to do 100 million vaccines in 100 days. So we want to see that happen as well. But this is Praise 107.9 FM. Guys, when we come back, we're going to talk to City Council Member Garrett Dennis, another first name guys, about Block J, the rejection and the ultimate rebuke of the mayor's and Jaguars ownership, Khan's almost on Jacksonville. So we'll be back after this musical selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
The ultimate gospel experience.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right. Listening.
He's listening.
Whatever you pray.
Whatever you pray.
He knows.
He knows.
Whatever the answer.
Whatever the answer.
He's got me.
He's got me.
We know he's sovereign.
We know he's sovereign.
He's in control.
He's in control.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest this morning is Jacksonville City Council Member Garrett Dennis. And Garrett, there was a big to do Tuesday at the city council. And I understand that there were many fireworks, quote unquote fireworks, going on there inside the city hall. And most of it centered around, I guess all of it centered around Lot J's potential acquisition by Jaguars owner, Jacksonville Jaguars football team owner, Shad Khan, in a deal that he and Mayor Curry had put together and wanted the city council's blessings on. And apparently that wasn't what the council was willing to do. Can you give us a little background and story about why you and several other city council members decided to rebuke the mayor?
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. I am a proud member of the Lot J7.
Lot J7.
The Lot J7. I'm a proud member of the Lot J7. And six of my colleagues, including, Councilwoman Joyce Morgan, we stood for what was right. We stood up for the city of Jacksonville and the taxpayers. As you know, the mayor since 2017 had been negotiating a deal with Shad Khan to redevelop Lot J at the stadium. Mm-hmm. And, I heard someone the other day saying, when you're in negotiations, there's some give and take, and at the end of the negotiations, both sides should feel slighted because there's negotiations. But today, looking at the deal, I can't say if Lenny Curry was negotiating on behalf of the city of Jacksonville, or was he negotiating on behalf of Shad Khan. The deal was a bad deal, and quite frankly, it fleeced the taxpayers. I mean, one of the really big sticking points, we were going to borrow money, $65 million. Now, we're going to have to pay interest on the money, debt service, and we're going to give Shad Khan that $65 million. He kept saying it was a loan only for tax purposes, but it was a grant. He didn't have to pay it back. 50-year forgivable loan, and he'll be dead. I'll be dead. We'll be dead in 50 years. Who does that?
Garrett, I want one of those.
Listen, we all do. But let me say this. We were going to fork over $250 million, and at the end of the day, once all the debt service paid, $400 million for a bar and some apartments. That's all we're for a bar to sell liquor and some apartments. And it was wrong. I just couldn't do it. And I said from the beginning that I supported the development of Lot J, but not at any cost.
Yes. Yeah. And so, Garrett, with that being said, there apparently were, while there was a majority of council members that wanted to go along with the Lot J expansion, and the group of seven who were against it, were you against the economic impact of the deal? Was it a bad deal financially for the citizens, or was it, and it's been referred to in the paper, was it vengeance?
It was the first two. It was a bad economic deal. The numbers didn't work out, for the city. And, the failure of this deal falls at the feet of the mayor. He negotiated a bad deal, and he kicked it to the city council thinking that we're just going to co-sign. And like I said that night, I'm not going to co-sign a bad deal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got the same thing happened with the JEA. They almost had the JEA deal sold until Zahn got greedy and added the PUD so they could rip off the city for millions and millions of dollars. Lot J probably would have passed had they backed off of the $65 million loan. I think they got greedy. And when I looked at the testimony of the people representing the Jaguars, it was as though they were doing the city of Jacksonville a favor by even coming up with this deal, and that the mayor should be lauded for such a great deal for this community that's going to benefit the entire city, not just a Lot J area. But I'm going to be interested in knowing if they're going to commit to the community just north of what is that, Eastside? Are you guys going to commit to that fund that you all are going to develop and the Jaguars going to put funded in there? Would that go forward even though the deal got killed?
I think we should. That shows a true commitment to the community. I mean, we were about to borrow $250 million. We were going to go to the bank. We were going to go in debt for $250 million. When I can't even get $1 million for a drainage project, you know, off of King's Road.
Yes.
You know, so it was amazing. All of a sudden, you know, we can go get $250 million.
Well, it was quoted in the paper that you're not doing anything in your district anyway. All you're doing is having you have a vendetta against the mayor and stuff. That's why you're calling for his removal.
Well, let me tell you, the mayor and I, we fought side by side, Eureka Garden, taking down that bad owner. We went to D.C., advocated, got changes, in federal HUD. But I'll never forget, it was a vote. And the mayor came to me, he said, I want you to vote. Like, you know, I need your support. And I said, no. He said, if you don't vote the way I tell you to vote, I'm going to turn off the spigot in your district. And my words to the mayor, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You know, so I'm not going to roll over to support, this particular issue just because you want me to. And I don't take kindly to threats. And from there, that guy has never been my friend. What is it that Maya Angelou said? You know, once a person show you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. That's what I've done. You know, that the mayor is bad for Jacksonville. He cares nothing about Jacksonville.
He certainly won't stick to his word. I mean, the limit, and I mean very limited interaction I've had with this administration has been negative, non-receptive, and just a bunch of, ignore people. Won't answer email, won't give you an appointment, bullying.
All right, Doc. We got it.
Huh? Dr. Danford, you must not have given enough money to his slush fund, his pack. You know, maybe if you give a little more money to his pack.
Garrett. Yeah. So what's next with Lot J? Is it dead? Is it dead deal? As Doc mentioned, are we gonna move forward with something? Since your seven, do you guys have a alternate plans or can the community come together and put something together around this and take it to Shaq? I mean, you know, to me, the economic impact sounded like a great deal if it was done with the right intentions.
You're on the right track, Larry. I think community engagement is the key, Garrett. The council.
Hey, Doc and Garrett, hold on. We got to take a break here, and we'll come back, okay? This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. Stove is hot this morning. We'll be back after this musical selection.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Not to be found around me. So
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. And when we finished up that last segment that Dr. Danford, Jarman Leitner, and Jacksonville City Council member Garrett Dennis, we were talking about the divisiveness that the Curry administration has involved Jacksonville City in. And Garrett, as we close out this topic, any parting words as to the community about where we stand and how do we move forward, you know, together, you know, because, you know, we don't want to continue, feeding the beast, so to speak, of divisiveness. We need to start talking about coming together and finding ways that we can help the citizens in of Jacksonville, and particularly the North Side.
So I don't have an easy answer to that question. I think more people need to call for the resignation of Lenny Curry. I know we don't have time, but I can go through all the failed initiatives and how much debt we've gone into since he's been at the helm. You know, from, you know, the $25 million from taking down the landing, the $50 million from taking down the Hart Bridge, the attempt to steal JEA. I mean, just I can go on and on and on. And then what we need to do, as a community, we really need to look at ourselves and find people to run for office that's free,
yes,
that are business, yes, owners, that are people that won't be easily bought off. And so, you know, that's what's happening. You know, I'm going to say this one thing. You know, there was one council member, you know, in the whole Lot J process that really turned my stomach. Was so upset that their little side deal got exposed and said on the record, I had a side deal going on. I had a side deal. You're messing up my side deal on the record, you know? And so we need elected officials that, that's there for the right reasons and to serve people, not to be served. And so in order to move our community forward, get the resources we need to call for Lenny Curry's resignation, which I have, and I think you're going to start hearing other people do that too. We need to be loud and proud about it. And then we need to really look at who we put up to run for these offices and the ones that's there that's not.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's not looking out. We need to take them out.
Yes. Okay, Gary, we're going to have you back when we have more time. We appreciate you hopping on as always. And congratulations on having a backbone instead of spaghetti.
And be safe. Right. And be safe, Garrett. Don't, you know, watch your back.
Yeah. Yeah. Please watch your back.
Listen, I'm a proud member of the Lot J7.
Remember? All right.
All right. Thank you, Garrett.
All right. Okay. Now we're going to transition and talk about education. And thanks for being so patient with us, board member and vice chair. Daryl Willie from the Duval County Public Schools. And as you listen, Daryl, you've had a spirited conversation with Councilman Dennis. And what do we know about what's going on over at the school district and vaccines for the teachers' salary increases, students coming back, and how's the COVID spread being handled?
He laid it all out. Well, I'll just say, first of all, always great to be on with you all in the morning. And I just love listening in too, because I had my ears perked up as you had that last conversation. And it just makes me just realize how interconnected all of this is, especially when it comes to economics. Education leads economics, economics leads education. Everything's connected to the dollar and economics somehow.
Absolutely.
Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a not so good way. But some great things happening over at DCPS. And of course, we are moving kind of through it. We talked last time about our more seasoned employees, 65 and over. We gave them an opportunity to get that COVID vaccination. And then they actually provided one more round of that. And now what we're doing is we're advocating that every single teacher kind of be lifted up. Like, we're talking to anyone who can listen, the state level, we're even talking to federal level about just making sure people know teachers are frontline workers. I know people have different sort of opinions on that. But at the end of the day, they come across so many different people, and that's what they do. So that is one big thing. We have not seen a huge spike in COVID cases within our schools. Like I mentioned before, you have to go through some pretty significant pieces to get into our schools, masks, temperature checks, the spacing. And now our students are getting used to those things, used to being in
Yeah, if that indeed is the case, then why do they need to be moved up on the vaccinations if that policy that's in place now is working so well?
I mean, because I think if you have an opportunity to protect folks who are on the front line, same thing with a doctor. A doctor's got all the whole hazmat suit on. They're safe. That doesn't mean they shouldn't get a vaccine. So, I mean, at the end of the day, this gives us an opportunity to have people.
So you're comparing doctors and teachers?
Yes, definitely. You don't think education? I mean, if we don't.
I'm not talking about the education. I'm talking about the community and how the COVID is spread and who should get the vaccinations first.
I think about who has the most interaction with the most different types of people from various walks.
But if you're looking at that narrative, but I'm looking at who's most vulnerable. You know, am I going to take those vaccines from someone who's 65 and older and provide them to the teachers? Well, that doesn't sound like even state off to me.
That's a bad policy, because you're separating people. Just
exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Why are you trying to escalate someone else up? Follow the procedures.
Why can't we all get a vaccine?
I mean, we should all be able to get a vaccine.
Here's
the thing.
Who is better than others?
Some people have the opportunity to stay at home. You can stay at home and make some money, and you're good. Like, you're not really out and about, but you have 100 kids if you teach middle school or high school.
But you're assuming that folks are at that level where they have to stay home. People that are low income don't have that flexibility to stay home. They still have to go to work and do their 8 to 5s for $10 an hour.
And they should be on the list too. I'm not saying they shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, see, there you go. We got to go back to this list. We're going to make us divisive again.
Well, he's advocating for teachers, and I get that, and I'm advocating.
I can't believe y'all don't want our teachers
absolutely.
To be.
I am. Vaccine. I believe teachers should be on that list.
We all should. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Essential workers, absolutely.
They are.
But we don't want to take the vaccination away from anybody else. We just want them to be added.
If we had the leadership at every level, we wouldn't have the difficulties we are having. And I'm talking about the
leadership,
the national, the state, the city,
it
just appears that
we don't want to place, you know, we're being now sounding like we're, you know, pitting against one another or against who should get what. It should be enough for everybody, you know, and that's the problem. The administration has lied to us again, just as they were just uncovered this morning. You know, they don't have the vaccines available even in the supply chain. Okay, so how in the heck can we supply teachers 65 and older or anything else with it? Doc, it don't make no difference. These people are gone anyways on after the January 19th. We're going to talk about that, Darryl, after this musical selection. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back shortly.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. And I have everything that makes my healing. Stripes say I am healed. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey. And it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me. When he laid down his life, then I might live. Abundantly. My heart's desire.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and our education contributor, Daryl Willey, the vice chair of the Duval County Public Schools. And we were having a somewhat spirited conversation about the vaccines in Duval County Public Schools. And Daryl, forgive me for cutting you off there, but, I didn't see that we had another minute left to discuss it, but I probably would have taken up most of that minute anyways. So now you have the floor to expand on your theories.
No, and I just wanted to clarify, I'm not trying to take the vaccine out of the arm of any seniors or folks who need them. I just think at this point, if you look at where we prioritize as a state, we teachers aren't really on the list at all. And we're a state that is open. We're a state that does have a requirement that we have an opportunity for folks to go into schools, unlike some states and districts. So I think it's important that they get called out. And there should be a lot of other people who we start to elevate as well. And we need to have a serious conversation. But I appreciate the spirit of our argument. And as you mentioned before, we just need leadership that's going to make sure we get it. When it does happen, we can get it into the arms as possible if they want to do that.
Right. And leadership.
Right. And I think that the dichotomy there is, and I got you coming, John, but the economy there is that when we use in the birds like elevate and so forth, because, then we're saying that then we are trying to place one over the other. If we prioritize and when the vaccines are more plentiful, then this is the priority that these that should be given, as based on essential or whatever. John, I'm sorry.
Right. I was just going to add to what Daryl was saying about the type of leadership, just leadership that's going to make decisions that aren't causing more divisiveness. And every decision, every response since COVID, even with the COVID test, there was divisiveness. And then now with the vaccinate, and it's just perpetual. So we need leadership that's going to really represent the community and serving the people, like Garrett Dennis has said, and not their own personal agendas.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, and I'll end on this point. I also think you prioritize it based on the health and sort of the risk level. But I think you also have to start talking about how many folks do these individuals come in contact with? Because if you vaccinate enough people that come in contact with massive amounts of people, then there's less opportunity for spread. So your point about grocery store workers and other things is valid, because they may be coming in contact with hundreds of people potentially if they're working that cash register. So we need to figure it out, not just from a static, all right, health is probably the most important piece, but also after that, how do you then start to distribute? And I think it should be based on how many folks do you interact with, and how quickly can that spread if we mitigate the folks who come in contact with the most people?
Well I think Dr. Danforth was saying something earlier about the amount of vaccines that's available, this wouldn't even be a conversation if the Trump administration had done what they were tasked to do and created this warp speed program to accomplish. It wasn't just to get the vaccine ready to be passed out, but to have it enough available that if it did pass the muster, that everyone could be vaccinated, within a month or 90 days. And it's taken us 90 days just to get to the point that we figure 60 days to figure out how the vaccine works, how can we distribute it, and all of these things. And this is causing a lot of anger from people and wanting to be elevated or whatever, across the country. Again, poor leadership from the top. If we had a national program that said this is how we're going to do it, it would be much simpler for folks to implement.
I just hope we don't get to the point of having to go through the black market and buy these vaccines
out of
the trunk of a car like we did, like we're buying CDs and stuff, there's got to be.
And there's a history of that.
This is the most powerful country in the world, and we can't figure this out. It's just...
Yeah.
We're busy climbing the walls of the Capitol. Okay, we're doing stupid stuff when we need to try to save people's lives. I mean, what's going on here?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Doc. And the leader of the country is there inciting and instigating these riots and aggression against America. But you know, instead of finding a way that we could get this vaccine out to everyone that needs it.
How do you heal this country? How do we move forward, Daryl? I mean, anybody answer that. I mean, how do we take steps to heal this country? We're sick, not only from COVID, but we're sick.
I mean, you're right, but I think it starts with our young people. Like, I really do. Like, not that our, you know, us adults and are lost, but our young people are doing some tremendous things. There was sessions last night. Young people got together in our city to talk about what they were going through, and not just being, because we've spent a lot of time on the problem, but our young people, they spend a lot of time on solutions. They're always like, well, what if we do this? Yeah. We do this. And if we would listen and take a step back and think about
listen.
Yeah, we could be in a very different place right now. But it also starts local. I mean, it starts local because a lot of the stuff that happens here trickles down. So I need to do my part as an elected official. Others need to do their part because people are watching. Our kids are watching. Our community's watching. And it's important what we do, what we say, both when we think people are watching, also when we think people are not.
Yeah, and doing right is not something that you do part time, Daryl. I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, whether somebody's watching or not, just do the right thing. You know, I know it sounds so rhetorical and simple. You know, just do the right thing, but that makes you know, life a lot simpler. You know, you spend all these times and most of the time, you know, lies catch up with you after the Trump administration going out the door. You know, people said, well, they just lying and nothing happens. Okay, yeah, something happens. It might take a while sometimes, but it's something. There's always a price to pay.
Yeah, I like to close my comment with. You know, we were talking earlier about the end about Lot J. I don't see it as necessarily the end. I think that through proper community engagement, using the community to help the owner determine what is best for Jacksonville, bring it back with a deal that makes sense. And we're going to, you know, I would be the first one to jump on that bandwagon. Hey, let's get that. Let's find a way that the community can actually buy into some of these developments through some stocks, through buying, you know, like the Green Bay Packers. They own the Green Bay Packers. You know, the people own it. Why can't we allow the people to own certain parts of these developments that's where taxpayers' money is being used? I don't care about a job, a construction job. You know, I know our people need that, but we need investment opportunities. That's how we help economically these communities.
Absolutely. Jamin.
And Larry, you had mentioned just, you know, doing the right thing. I think many of America was just watching and hopeful that many in Congress and Senate would do the right thing and make the right votes and make the right decisions based on what has happened. And I think this, again, we just have a long way to go, and we can't be responsible for anybody else's choices, only our own. So we have to start with ourselves, doing the right thing and making the right moves and moves that are moving in a positive direction. And that's not adding to keeping us divided.
And Daryl, your thoughts on Dr. King's birthday week celebration, and we're going to make it quick.
I mean, it is very interesting that we're in this moment in time and we have MLK Day that we're celebrating. Like, we're celebrating one of the greatest sort of agitators yet unifiers of this country, and I think he did it in such an intentional way. And I think that's what I always talk to people. It wasn't by accident that anything that he did got done. Like, we have to be intentional about it. We have to work with each other. We have to collaborate. We have to have folks who are out front, folks who are in the middle, and folks who are in the back. And everybody has a role to play. And that's what I appreciate about MLK and his legacy. He did all of those things, and I'm excited to celebrate it. Excited to sort of do a little bit of healing, even in my family, thinking about all the stuff we've seen with my family doing a service project. We'll do that, yet it be virtual. We'll do that on Monday just to kind of commemorate that. So excited about his birthday. Happy birthday, MLK.
All right.
Okay, thank you. And this is
get the listeners real quick the email address if they want to send us any questions or comments, and let us know if you are a small business owner and you are open. That email is jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. That's jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com.
Okay, see y'all next Saturday morning on the Empowerment Hour. Bye, Doc. Bye, John. Bye, Daryl.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend.